Hallelujah. So we started off discussing about understanding this gospel.
We're looking at how the gospel is preached in the scriptures, majorly in the Old Testament. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. How the gospel is preached. So, and I asked us to listen to the
message we have on the website, understanding this gospel. How many of us did listen to it? They asked us to listen to it on Sunday. I did. So, right? Listen to this gospel. Why did you understand this gospel?
You didn't see it.
Please listen to it as you are coming tomorrow.
Listen to it as you are coming tomorrow. Majorly, please listen to it, especially for tomorrow. Listen to it. You'll find similar to what we said today in it, but listen to it. You understand? Even in years to come, if we do series 3, you have to listen to 1 and 2. You get to that one. Okay. So we're looking at understanding the gospel. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. He says, all scripture. Oh, verse 15. He says, and from childhood, you have known the Kyrios grammar, all the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. True faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. So we saw in verse 15, or we saw earlier rather, that Paul Paul was saying that Timothy's cleverness of Bible interpretation was his understanding of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Paul commended that Timothy's understanding of Bible interpretation was on what salvation through faith is in Christ Jesus. This implies, so we looked at that, but this implies that the gospel was preached in the Old Testament. That is, the gospel was preached in the Old Testament scriptures. We discovered also, we also saw that the Old Testament scriptures are scriptures that need interpretation, which Paul will now call mystery. We now call mystery, mysterion, a truth that is hidden amongst facts. And we say whatever, most times, most often than few, when Paul uses the word mysterion, in the background, you would have what? You would have the Old Testament scriptures there. Right? Have the Old Testament scriptures there. So, please spoil it like I said. Hallelujah. Okay. Paul will call it mystery. I will say mystery is the truth hidden amongst fact, right? Hidden amongst fact. That the fact is not the truth, for the truth is inside them. So therefore, the reason, the name, why, if you look at the root word for mystery, you have the word that implies something that needs to be explained. Do you understand me? Is a word. So you now say is the truth amongst facts that needs explanation. Do you understand me? Now, that needs explanation. And we saw that Jesus in Luke 24 went through all the scriptures and explained the scriptures. Do you understand me? Explained the scriptures to the disciples. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So to that end, we concluded. And also we said Paul will call the epistles, his writings, the revelation of that mystery, which means we call it the apocalypse, the explanation of the mystery. So to that end, we concluded that the epistles are the explanation of the Old Testament scriptures. Hallelujah. So in our interpretation, we also looked at our part. He said, in our interpretation of Old Testament scriptures, we read thoroughly the epistles to see the interpretation of it. So we read thoroughly, analogously, we pay attention to the details. So the epistles explain to us the Old Testament scriptures. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Explain to us the Old Testament scriptures. So since the epistles explain to us the Old Testament scriptures, it then means that salvation or faith, we call salvation or faith in the Old Testament and New Testament, speaks of the same person.
Very important. Tell us,
speaks of the same person. When you talk about faith and or salvation, it speaks of the same person. So we study the concept of the gospel. We study the concept of we are thought. We study the teaching of the gospel in the New Testament to see what was spoken of in the gospel, or as what was spoken of as the gospel in the Old Testament, because it must be the same content. Did you get that? The content must be the same. They will not very soon. We'll also look at how it was spoken then. You understand? But you know, the content will be the same. Hallelujah. Because since the epistles explain the Old Testament, and the gospel is preached in the Old Testament, and faith in the Old Testament and faith in the gospel have to be talking about the same person, right? Have to be talking about the same, which is what's Christ. So we'll study, we'll see how the gospel is taught in the New Testament to know how or to know what is the content of the gospel in the Old Testament. Did you see that? To know what the content of the gospel in the Old Testament will be.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So in looking at that, we saw the incarnation of Jesus as the Son of God.
Hallelujah. We saw that when teaching the gospel, we see that God became a man.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means the way it will be taught in the gospel, in the Old Testament, to have in its content that God will become a man. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Did you get that? So in the Old Testament, it will be God will become a man. Why? Because the gospel in the Old Testament, we said that during while we're teaching on the concept of righteousness on Saturday, right? We discussed that. We'll look at that, it's just close here. Romans chapter 1, promise chapter 4. So the gospel, Romans 1.
Pro Epagilia.
Then he said, Paul, a born servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised afore, promised before. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, which he promised afore, or actually mean, listen, the promise afore will mean the gospel in the Old Testament was a promise of what God will do. You understand? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's about what God will do.
So, when you read the Old Testament, we'll find the gospel preached in the Old Testament as a promissory note. Do you understand? It will be a promissory note in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So the word promised before, as I said, is the word proepagiloman. Thank you, I remember. I got it now. Proepagiloman. It implies the word pro is the word that means before. Before. It's a compound word. Proepagiloman means is a compound word of pro and epagilia. So pro means before. Epagilia means a pledge to do something. A pledge to do something. Now, in looking at the word epagilia, the one who makes the promise is the one who does the task. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? He who makes the promise, take that one, let's move ahead. He who makes the promise is the one who does the task. Epagilia. So when he said, which God promised, meaning he is the one that, so the gospel was preached as a promise rather. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, what was the content of the promise? That's what we're looking at. Jesus in Luke 24, verse 25, said, oh, full slow over to baby, not that the prophet has said, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory. Did you see that? So, when it talks about ought not the Christ to suffer these things, he brings about, when it talks about the suffering, he brings about the incarnation comes into it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jonathan and is entering into glory. Glory to God. And what did Jesus now do? He now went through Genesis to Malachi and he taught them.
Jonathan,
glory to God. So in the Old Testament, the gospel was ministered as a promise. So, question, listen, in the Old Testament, the gospel is a promise. In the pre gospel, the gospel is, and the word became flesh. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Do you understand me? The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So, you will see John prophesying about Christ. Not, he will say, behold the Lamb. Hallelujah. Which taketh away the sins of the world. Do you understand that? So, in the four gospels, he is the word became flesh. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, we're back. In the New Testament, what is the gospel? Let's stop it. So go ahead.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So, I said we saw that the incarnation of God, the incarnation of Christ as the Son of God is very vital in the gospel. Not to believe in the incarnation is not even believe in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Not to believe in his incarnation is not to believe in the resurrection. See, it's as important as that. In Hebrews 2, the writer of Hebrews says something, puts it like this. Hebrews 2, verse 5. Hebrews 2, verse 5. He says, For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testifies in a certain place. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hand, and have put all things in subjection under his feet. He said he has made him a little lower than angels. That word, he had made him a little lower than angels, is referring to Christ. Hallelujah. Now, he said he had made him a little lower than angels. He speaks of the fact that Jesus partook of humanity.
You understand? He partook of humanity. He partook of humanity. This is his incarnation.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
He partook of humanity. So, as I said, as we said, the, if you don't believe, not to believe in the incarnation, not to believe in his resurrection. Very important. Also, in that Acts chapter 2, let's look at something else. Acts 2, verses 24. There's something to pick out there. In Acts 2, okay, we've read it, so let me just read. In Acts 2, 24 to 39. In Acts 3, 19 to 26. In Acts 10, 39 to 41. Acts 13, 29 to 33. You find something similar. You find that the another major fact of the gospel is the fact that Jesus died for men and he resurrected. Very important. You see, he was raised all through the scriptures. He was raised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 15. Paul, summarizing the gospel in the Old Testament, he said, verse 3, he said, I read from verse 1, I say, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you have received, and you, which you stand. Now, he wants to give the fact of the gospel. He said, verse 3, for I deliver to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Meaning in the scriptures, what it means, what it says that you can't find this word, Christ died for us according to the scriptures, in any verse of the Old Testament. But he tells you this is the summary of the word of the prophet. He said, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Fact of the gospel, he died for our sins. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Fact of the gospel, he was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Very important. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Very important. Meaning, what the prophet spoke about is his incarnation. They spoke about his death. And they spoke about what? His resurrection also. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So meaning, if I read the Old Testament, I will see these then. Did you see that? I will see this clear. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's go ahead. Let's look at that Acts 23. Acts 3, rather. Acts 3. Have you made all some things? Acts 3. Verse 26. Look at what he said. He said, and to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The word God sent, the word sent is the word apostello. Apostello. A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L-O. A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L-O. He said it implies one's work, one's mission. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get this? One's work, one's mission. Now he said, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. Now, to bless you, in turning away every one of you from your iniquity. That word turning away is the word apostrepho. Apostrepho.
Hallelujah.
It's a compound word of apo and strepho. Now, the word apo means to separate something. The word apo means to separate from something.
Apostrepho. You know,
Okay. Now the word cheerful. During our believers, when during the teaching believers call, we look at the word cheerful, right? Cheerful. Now, is the word cheerful means to take away of a thorn around, to take away or to turn around. The word apoka means far, can imply something, to separate something far. Now let's look at the word apostrepho together. It means to take something far away. That is a total cancellation, to take something far away from. So, a word, okay. Now, the way he uses it, he said to take something far away from. Listen, he said in raising him up from the dead, it took away sin. Meaning, listen to this. At the resurrection, then we received cancellation of sins. Do you understand? It took it far from us. Hallelujah. At his resurrection. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In chapter 2 of that same act, verse 38. And then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, for the remission of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Spirit. Let me read. He said, and Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord. That word and is the word eis. That is to say, repent. That is, let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Say, for the remission of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Spirit. Now, Peter in chapter 2, verse 38, calls this cancellation of sin, he calls it remission of sins. He calls it what? Remission of sins. Hallelujah. He calls it remission of sins. The word remission is the word aphesis. Remission is the word aphesis. A-P-H-E-S-I-S. Aphesis. It's the word which implies to let go. Aphesis. It implies to let go. To release from. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To release from. To let go. To release from. To deliver from. You understand? Similar word. We find as forgiveness of sin. That same aphesis is used as forgiveness of sins in Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Acts 5, 31. When Peter was speaking, he said, God has exalted him, exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel. That is forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. In Acts 13, verse 38, Paul used the same word, verse 38. He said, therefore, let it be known to you that through this man is preached to you forgiveness of sin, aphesis, a taking, a letting go. Hallelujah. A letting go. In chapter 26 again, hallelujah. In chapter 26, Paul at Agrippa or with Agrippa, verses 18. It says, to open the eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Do you read that? They may receive forgiveness of sins. So forgiveness of sins is not a pardon. Do you understand? Forgiveness of sins is not a pardon for sins, but a letting go of it. A letting go of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So forgiveness of sins is a letting go. A letting go of sins. So forgiveness of sins, when you have forgiveness of sins, is a letting go of sins. A total cancellation of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, if we go back to Acts 3, verse 26, we receive the cancellation of sins at the resurrection. at the resurrection.
Calculation of sin was done at the resurrection. So look at that chapter 3, verse 26 very well. He said, to you first, God, having raised up his servant, Jesus, sent him to bless you, to speak good of you, in turning away any one of you from your iniquities. So we said the blessedness of God is seen in his cancellation of sin at the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before this, let's go down, let's go up again to verse 17. Let's see what Peter says. Verse 17 into 19. He said, now, brother, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But these things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Hallelujah. He has thus fulfilled. Verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. The time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know the word in verse 18? He said, look at that word in verse 18. He said, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophet, that Christ will suffer, he has thus fulfilled. What did God show? What did God speak in the mouth of the prophet? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Just there, he said it. In that verse 18, what Christ will suffer, hallelujah, he has thus fulfilled. Now, Paul said what, Peter said what Christ suffered. Let's look at what Jesus said concerning that. Luke 24, 25, 26. Let's see what was in the mouth, what God said in the mouth of the prophet. Luke 24. Verse 25. He says, O fools and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Understand? So, in the mouth of the prophet, we'll find his death, which is his suffering, and entry into his glory. So, his death will point us to his incarnation. Hallelujah. And his entry into glory. So, his entry into glory would mean his resurrection. You see that? His resurrection. Very important. Meaning, in the mouth of the prophet, will find his incarnation, which will also include his death, and will find his resurrection. In the mouth of the prophet. Meaning, tomorrow, if we get to look at the Old Testament, we will see this death. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Understand that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1, from verse 2 to 4. From verse 2 to 4. What did God say in the mouth of the prophet? Verse 2. Which he promised through his prophet in the Holy Scriptures. Now let's see what he said. Through the prophet. He said, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, incarnation. Right? Right? Incarnation, according to the flesh, incarnation. Verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God. I'm teaching. Declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. That implies what? His resurrection. Hallelujah. So in the mouth of the prophets, you find what? His suffering, his incarnation, and his resurrection. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 4. We saw that also just earlier on. We find his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So what was shown in the mouth of the prophet will be his resurrection. Hallelujah. Will be his resurrection. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's look at that Acts chapter that verse 19 again of Acts 3, verse 19. Acts 3, 19. He said, he said, listen, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of this prophet, that the Christ would suffer, he had fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Meaning at the resurrection, because we've seen that the resurrection was what was spoken in the mouth of the prophet, right? Hallelujah. Glory. So at the resurrection, what did we receive? It says that your sins may be blotted out. The word blotted out is the word exalepho. Exalepho.
E-X-A-L-E-I-P-H-O. Exalepho. It's the word which implies to wipe out completely without trace. To wipe out completely without trace. Exalepho. To wipe out completely without trace.
We find that also in Colossians 2, verse 14. Colossians 2, 14. You find that in Colossians 2, 14. Colossians 2, 14 said, having wiped out. Do you see? Hallelujah. Nice the word, having wiped out the handwritten requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and was taken out of the way. Having nailed it to the cross means to wipe out, blotted out. Okay, you have them blotted out, to wipe out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You find the same word in Revelation 7, verse 17, 21, verse 4, 3, verse 5.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the way
Peter uses it there, he uses it as the action of a third person. Christ, what Christ would do. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I will say again that the cancellation of sin is a product of Christ's resurrection. The cancellation of sin, he resurrected. So, the cancellation of sin is a product of Christ's resurrection.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Back to Acts chapter 3. Acts 3. Verses 19. He said, repent therefore and be converted. We'll look at all this tomorrow. Repent therefore.
Look at it very much tomorrow. So let's have this.
I'm not talking about it now. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Your sins may be wiped out without trace. So that the times of refreshing, take note of that word, refreshing, may come from the presence of the Lord. Prosper.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, the word refreshing is word anna. Let me just spell it. A-N-A-P-S-U-S-I-S. X-I-S. X-I-S.
X-I-S.
It, the word implies to raise from the dead.
It implies to raise from the dead. To revive. To revive. So what Peter is saying, listen. He said, I wrote something here. He said, this is Peter's identification. He says, in verse 19, he says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing, now the times of refreshing, times of revival, revival is not revival. Oh, there's revival. No. That's what we say. Look at the word. The word means to rise from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
To rise from the dead. May come from the present, the postpone of the Lord. Look at that scripture. Now, listen. Is what Peter is saying is the one who receives Christ, that is the word repent and be converted, is just simple, it's just the word, the one who receives. We'll look at that tomorrow. The one who believes, who receives the gospel, therefore we have the same experience.
Remember What we are talking about is the resurrection in verses 18 in the mouth of the prophet, right? So that singular act of Christ will bring about revival in the man who believes. Did you see that? So that singular act of Christ's resurrection will bring about resurrection in the man who believes. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So therefore, what I want to say is that the same vital experience of Christ's resurrection, the man who believes will have the same vital experience of his resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That is, remember I said it's Peter's identification, that is, the man who believes is now identified in Christ's resurrection. So it's Peter's identification. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So, we say that the resurrection, no, we know that the resurrection of Christ is once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christ's resurrection is once. But, and from his resurrection, we now have millions of resurrections. This is a word by Pastor Shebo Noinka. That was Believers Convention 2018. From that singular experience of Christ, we now have the same resurrection everywhere. Hallelujah. When men believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, this lets us see that what Jesus said about the resurrection means very important. The believer now have in Christ, now have the same similar experience of Christ. Do you understand me? The same similar experience. Hallelujah. And that is what Peter calls times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. Hallelujah. And he now uses the word prospon from the presence of the Lord. That word prospon means an appearing from somewhere. An appearing from somewhere. Do you understand me? Now, that appearing, that's the word prospon. Where did Jesus appear from? Where did he appear from? From the dead, right? He appeared. Where did he appear in?
In us.
Hallelujah. Where did he appear in? In us. Did you get that? So that appearance in us, which we're going to see shortly, that appearance in us, that's what we call the entry into glory. So when I say it's the resurrection, you understand that now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand me? Hallelujah is the resurrection. So the resurrection is Christ appearing in our heart. Do you understand me? Now that is what Peter now calls, with that singular experience of Christ in our heart, produces what? Refreshing. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? So it happens, is a singular experience. Do you understand? It's a singular, it happens at the point of what? Of believing the gospel. Now, when a man believes the gospel, this takes place. If immediately he believes, not a split seconds away, not a split seconds away. No. The moment he believes, hallelujah, he receives the times of refreshing. Why? Because of the presence of the Lord. Do you understand that? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, let's see what Jesus said about his resurrection. He said about some things so that you understand what Peter is saying there. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see what Jesus spoke about concerning this resurrection. What will take place? The things he said will take place. Now, those things he said will take place are what or is what we will find in the man that believes. That those things took place the moment a man believes the gospel. You understand? The moment a man believes the gospel. Let's look at Matthew 6 quickly. Matthew 6. Verse 9. Say, but when you pray, go into your rooms, and when you have shut your doors, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. Let's go to verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They give us this day our daily bread. You know, if you look at this, this prayer, or what Jesus spoke about here, he's talking about the reality of what he will give. Hallelujah. Do you understand? It's the reality of what he will give in salvation. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Now, that word daily bread, that word daily, or daily, is the word F. It's what epiosios. Epiosios. E-P-I-O-U-S-I-O-U-S. Epiosios. E-P-I-O-U-S-I-O-U-S. E-P-I-O-U-S-I-O-S. Sorry. E-P-I-O-U-S-I-O-S. It's the word which implies sufficient bread. When he says, give us this day daily bread. It's a word that means sufficient bread. That means sufficient bread. Needful bread. It means, in literal terms, it means give us today, tomorrow's bread. Do you understand that? Give us, or he said, give us bread today for tomorrow. Do you understand? Give us bread today for tomorrow, or give us tomorrow's bread today. Hallelujah. It implies bread sufficient for every day. That's what it means. So Jesus will use that to talk about what he will do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You understand that? He will use that to talk about what he will do. Sufficient bread. He's not talking about, I'm going to look for my daily bread. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's not what Jesus was referring to. We're talking about what? Sufficient bread. Hallelujah. The question will not be, how did Jesus use bread in the scriptures? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then I said, how would he use bread? How would he use bread? In John chapter 6, verse 26, it says, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, seek me. I mean, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and you were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting life. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So when it talks about bread, it's referring to what? Eternal life. Hallelujah. The life that we will receive at his resurrection. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So Jesus will use physical things to point to what he would do at his resurrection. So at the day, or in the day of his resurrection, at his resurrection, it will not be found as the reality of the man in Christ. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Now he said, seek for bread, or seek for food which endures to everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 32, he said, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you bread which came from heaven, or did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. It tells you that when Moses, when that sign of bread or manna, what is this, was wrought. When that sign was wrought, look at what happened. Jesus is explaining that fact and he's saying, what Moses gave you is not the true bread. Hallelujah. It's not the true bread. Now this was that bread in the Old Testament, or given to them by Moses, was a new project man. Hallelujah. To point towards the everlasting bread that he taught them, but they did not believe. Do you understand me?
So he will not give them that as a what? As a type and symbol. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He will not give them that as a symbol. So, but the bread is referring to what? His life at the resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Look at verse 36. Okay, no, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 41. He said, Jesus, and the Jews complained about him. Because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother will know? They just know his CV. Hallelujah. How come he says, I came down from heaven? Then Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your father ate manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven. And I mean, that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him, the bread I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at verse 63. He now sums it up and answered, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profit nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So the bread of Jesus is the bread of his resurrection. So Jesus will use bread to signify life, right? Now you know that the bread of Jesus is the life at his resurrection in the believer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now what about Jesus also uses another word, water. What is the water of Christ? John 3 verse 5. Jesus said, most assuredly I said to you, to Nicodemus, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Yes, I used to remember when he said, except one is born of water. After water, you're not born again. But no. The word there is the word kai. It means, except unless one is born of water, that is the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, Jesus uses water to signify what? The Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So the water of Christ is the Spirit of Christ. Is the water of Christ is the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 4, verse 7.
Chapter 4, just the next one, chapter 4, verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me water to drink. Verse 11, and Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he were giving you living water. Hallelujah. Verse 13, Jesus said to her, whoever drinks of this water will taste again. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never taste. But the water that I shall give him will become to him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Springing up to everlasting life. In chapter 7 of John, chapter 7, verse 37, it says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture have said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. But this spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Did you see that? So the water of Christ is the water. So the water of Christ is the water of his resurrection.
And that water of Christ is the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Ezekiel chapter 36,
quickly, Ezekiel 36. In Ezekiel 36. In Ezekiel 36. Are you there? Ezekiel 36. Okay. Verses 25. Look at what he said. He says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idol. I will give you a new heart. That is, put a new spirit within you." Hallelujah. "I will take away the stony heart. I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my commandments, and you will do them." Where was this? Now, this, the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. Hebrews 9:13, sorry. Hebrews 9:13. Hebrews 9, verse 13. Are you in Hebrews 9? Verse 13. The writer of Hebrews quotes it. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. How am I supposed to quote? Come in, Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Are you there? It says, "For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, after they say that I will put my laws in their mind, I will write them in their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." This speaks of the internal work. So the water of Jesus, used in Ezekiel 36, verse 25 to 27, is called the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's called the Spirit. What God. Now, Ezekiel will now prophesy of what God will do in the new birth.
So, what is Ezekiel writing about? His death or resurrection? He's writing about his resurrection. Hallelujah. What will happen at the resurrection? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Ezekiel will call it what God will do at the resurrection. So, I will sprinkle clean water and you shall be clean. And we call that clean water what? The Spirit. Hallelujah. So the water of Christ is the Spirit. Hallelujah. Is the Spirit. It is the water of the resurrection. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So the water of Christ is the Spirit. The bread of Christ is the Spirit. What about the blood of Christ? John chapter 6, the same verse 56.
John 6, 56, he speaks about it. He says, "For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Hallelujah. "He who eats my flesh and drink my blood abides in me, and I in him."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he has called the bread food. Hallelujah. So, and he calls the blood drink. So, what is the blood of Christ? Ah! The blood of Christ was not a red blood cell or white blood cell that came down on the cross. No, that's not the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood of Christ is not, what is the science, what is the botanical name? Does God have a tangible name? What is all the botanical name for God? Yes, I'm teacher. Okay, let's continue. I'm just pulling your name. Hallelujah. So, the blood on the cross is not the blood of Christ. Because the way Jesus uses blood is not, he doesn't use blood to refer to what comes out when you have an injury or when it's an open. Hallelujah. I remember the teaching, a message I preached. That was in 2006. Yes, that's when the piercing blood and water came out. Because that blood, that message is gone. That is not the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. That is not the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. That is not the blood of Christ. Because if you use, Jesus' vocabulary is the vocabulary of the man in Christ. Hallelujah. Did you get it? So, you now look at what is Jesus' vocabulary. He calls the water spirit. He calls the bread spirit, or the bread food indeed, which is everlasting life. Do you get that? He calls the blood to spirit. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in chapter 6 verse 63, he calls it all the work or the spirit work. The spirit work. The blood of Christ is the work of the spirit. Hallelujah. He calls it drink, the blood drink. In Matthew 26, verse 28, Jesus, let's see how Jesus used the word blood. Matthew 26, 28. Okay. Matthew 26, 28. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the remission of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I will drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. First of all, when you hear, drink, this is my blood. Once you hear, this is my blood, will you drink? Nobody gives you blood. So what they had was wine. That was actually in the feast. We will actually look at it during our prayer retreat. We have a series of teaching like this concerning, we'll be talking about no symbols in Christianity. Hallelujah. No symbols in Christianity. Glory to God. And that message will discuss that anointing oil very well. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. We'll discuss these also. No symbols in Christianity. One. Hallelujah. We'll discuss these also. We'll discuss the Holy Communion.
Holy Communion. Holy. Eurios. Colonial. No. We'll look at this picture. We'll look at a whole lot of things. There's no symbol in Christianity. We'll just look at it. Hallelujah. But see, when he says, this is my blood, he gave them a wine, and he said, this is my blood. Automatically, you should know he's talking about something else. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? He's talking about, now they're taking the wine. And he tells them, this is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of your sins. As I told you earlier, as I told you, if you have been following our teaching, I said Jesus will use physical things, right? We'll use things around. To do what? To talk about his work, to talk about spiritual things. We looked at John chapter 2. He went to the temple and scattered everything and said, my Father's house shall not be called a house of merchandise. In the book of Matthew, he explains it that it shall be called a house of prayer. People say, the building is a house of prayer. You say, we're praying. Hallelujah. No, it's not a building. If you read down, now say this is speaks of the temple of his body. Do you understand? So, never saw he would now do that
What he did was to show you what he would do. Do you understand? What he will do in the resurrection. Hallelujah. So the same thing too. He will give them a wine to drink and now use the wine and calls it his blood. How does Jesus use the word wine also? He doesn't use wine as literal wine. He uses wine as the spirit. Hallelujah. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. He will use wine as the spirit. Hallelujah. He says, on the third day, there was wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Jesus went to the wedding. And it was not done inside the temple. It was not even done in the church. He went to the wedding. Eh? Was done in this. Hallelujah. Was not done in the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He went there. And when they ran out of wine, the mother, listen, they ran out of wine. Take that scenario. They ran out of wine. And the mother said to him, they have no wine. Now, he was saying there was no wine, right? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, sir.
Let's see Jesus' response. Jesus, you know, Jesus will respond. You know, Jesus' vocabulary and man's vocabulary are not the same. His vocabulary is our vocabulary. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Just like when they came to meet him, Moses gave us a whatever to give us. Should a man put away his wife for any just cause? Do you understand? Then Jesus will now say, from the beginning, he made them male and female. Hallelujah. You don't tell them from the beginning it was not so. Meaning they were talking about putting away wife. Jesus was talking about the new birth. Do you understand? It was not so from the beginning. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. See what God has. Join together, let no man put asunder. We're not talking about don't come and scatter our marriage. No. We're talking about the union. What God has joined together, man cannot put asunder. Hallelujah. Jesus, mm-hmm. So he will not use the question they asked him to teach about the reality of the new birth. Hallelujah. So when the mother came to meet him, there is no wine. From Jesus' vocabulary, listen, from Jesus' vocabulary, when they say there is no wine, that is the state of humanity. That does not mean without Christ, without God in this world. Paul explained that to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without God in this world, without the Spirit. Humanity was without Christ. Humanity was without the Spirit. Hallelujah. That is the state of humanity. Now, let's go ahead. Now, look at Jesus' response. Jesus said to her, woman, what is your concern? What does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. When you hear my hour, it's not my hour for miracles. No. Hallelujah. Yeah. The word my hour is not yet come is signifying, like he's saying, you know, Jesus will say, in that day, in that time you will know. My hour is not yet come, my time has not yet come. That day has not come. When Jesus talks about that day, that time was talking about the resurrection. Hallelujah. So when he said, my hour has not yet come, he is saying, this is not the time of my resurrection. Hallelujah. Yeah. But at the resurrection, man will be, the new one will be available. Hallelujah. Yeah. Though he went ahead to perform the miracle, but he had already passed across. Remember, I said, in all of Jesus's miracles, you have to listen to the words around. Hallelujah. Because those words around, those miracles were pointing to the new birth. Those miracles were pointing to his work, what he was to do in the earth. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Did you get that? Hallelujah. Did you get that? You hear him tell someone after the miracle, say, go and see no more. That is what would happen in the new birth. So he tells him, go and sin no more. He now points you to the word, to the reality of the new birth. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. In Christ. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. I said, I promised us we'll look at the miracles of Christ. Sometimes, someday, we'll look at all. Hallelujah. Sometimes, we're still studying, we're still knowing more. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Still looking at it very well. So, We say that the wine is the spirit, right?
The same thing too with his blood. So when he told them, when he gave them wine, he said, it's the spirit.
Hallelujah.
That's why the blood signifies the spirit. Colossians 1:14.
He said, in whom we have redemption. Look at verse 13. He said, he has delivered us from the kingdom, from the power of darkness, and has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He said, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, that he is the forgiveness of sins.
Hallelujah. So we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So in Colossians 1:14, he called the blood the forgiveness of sins. Or the blood is shed for forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews 9, 12.
Where I called earlier. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Are you there? He said, now, okay, start from verse 11. But Christ came as the high priest, of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is not of this creation. Now, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. Hallelujah.
We're going to see what he calls his own blood. Hallelujah. With his own blood. He didn't go with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood.
Hallelujah. He entered into the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption.
You know, there's just this thing that works in the heart of people when they hear, he entered into the holy place. Ah! Heaven was dirty. Sins of man has stained the heavens. So Jesus now went as a tinker and carried red paint. Father, this is my blood. Bro. I'm now doing their work. Bro.
No, that's not what he did. So he entered into the holiest.
He just said, angels were calling and said, no, let me go inside. I remember a Sunday school story that I once shared. I was taught to share this with you, though. So the school story. He said, you know, our sins, when you sin, it stains heaven. It stains heaven. You know, the way you do those bad things, imagine you're making God's house smelly.
Who cares?
What a lie. What a life! Hallelujah. What a life! Glory to God. So, take that off your mind. We're going to see what the holiest of all is right now. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verses, he entered the holiest of all. Yes, after having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 13. But if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifers sprinkling with unclean sand sanctified for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience?
Aha! He said, from dead works to serve the living God. Listen, look at,
we're going to read verse 12 into verse 12 and verse 14. Now, not without blood, but with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place. How much more shall the blood of Jesus, who through the entire Spirit offered himself without spot, cleanse your conscience? He entered into the most holy place to do what?
Now, what is the most holy place? The heart of man. Did you see that? Now, that was where he appeared to. Do you understand? Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the prospon of Christ is the appearing, right, in our heart as the Spirit of God. That is in itself the forgiveness of sin. The Spirit of God, when you hear forgiveness of sins, it refers to the Spirit of God in the heart of man. That's forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a true the eternal Spirit. Hallelujah. So in the Spirit's work. Hallelujah. Is the Spirit's work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So don't think Jesus Christ is just resurrected. He's the high priest and he's the Lamb. So the high priest and I am carrying this his blood inside pots. How to mean Nollywood? Carry inside pots, calabash.
Lord, come here. You're going to forgive Sma and everybody in the room.
That's Nollywood.
Hallelujah. You know what is disturbing you?
Too many Zakoji. too many canayo. Too many. So you think the things of God cannot be likened to secret God?
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the heart, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise
God. So this is what I said. The heart is the focus. Romans 8, verse 10, we just read it. It said, this is the covenant I will make with the heart of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind. I will write them on their heart. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So, the focus point is the heart. Tell us something. The heart is the focus point. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, when you see, remember I told us about in John 14, verse 24, that is what this day. That day is the day of his resurrection. Now, I said the blood of Christ is the spirit. Listen, the blood of Christ is the spirit. Where remission of sins took place is in man. Where remission of sins took place is in man. How? That is the spirit in you. Hallelujah. So, the indwelling of the spirit of God is remission of sin. Postpone the appearing from somewhere. To the appearing. Where did they appear to? In our heart. Hallelujah. So, the presence of God is the ever-abiding reality of the believer. You understand that? The presence of God. We don't go into his presence. No. Is the ever-abiding reality of the believer. Hallelujah. Ever-abiding. Oh Lord, you know we've come to your presence. Keep quiet. Is the ever-abiding reality. Because Christ has appeared in us. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So therefore, looking at all this, the resurrection of Christ is not an event. From all what we read, did you see any events there?
Not an event. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Christ is a revelation. It's a revelation. Christ appeared in our heart. It's a revelation. It is the reality of the believer. The resurrection of Christ is the reality of the believer. We're going to look at something serious now, very soon, as we begin to round up. The resurrection of Christ is an experience. It's an experience. The indwelling of the Spirit is a proof of remission of sins. Hallelujah. It's a proof. The indwelling is a proof of remission of sins. Remission of sins is not paying of sins. No. It's not payment for sins. No. Remission of sin is the spirit in our heart. So you take that off your mind. The remission of sins is the spirit in us. Hallelujah. It's not different events. No, it's not an event. So you know, when you receive the Spirit, you will now when you are born again, you will now receive forgiveness of sin. No. The moment a man believes, let me point what Pastor Shembu said, that was November 2018, Believer's Convention. He said, when a man receives, believes the gospel, and it takes a millisecond, if there's any space between that and when the Spirit is received, then it's not salvation. If the salvation, it is once you receive, the moment you receive, the Spirit is received. The moment, that same instance, you receive salvation. I mean, you receive forgiveness of sin. That same instance, you are justified. That same point, you are righteous. Hallelujah. So, what is all these things? Just the indwelling of the Spirit is the reality of all these things. Hallelujah. So therefore, salvation happens once. It happens when a man believes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So what happens when a man believes is what we now teach. We now teach it that the believer will come to a knowledge of what has happened to him in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. In Acts of Apostles chapter 2, let's see what Peter said. Ha. Man, Paul. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 38. Let's see something. Then Peter said to them, repent, and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, for the remission of sins. He calls it the remission of sins. In that sense, and it's not too different. That's the word kai. Which is, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Peter calls the remission of sins the indwelling of the Spirit. The indwelling of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. You see, let's look at that first. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. We begin to close. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. It says, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith also empty. Did you see that?
Amen.
The word risen is the word egero. E-G-E-I-R-O. Egero. That word is a perfect, is a perfect tense. If Christ has not risen, listen to this. It's a perfect tense. I need your attention more than ever before now, everybody. The word risen is a perfect tense. It's a combination of past, present, and present continuous. That is a perfect tense. A combination of past, present, and present continuous. That is, the resurrection of Christ is not in the past. The resurrection of Christ is not in the past. No. It is the everyday reality of the believer. Do you understand? The resurrection of Christ is the Spirit of God in our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
The resurrection of Christ is the indwelling of the Spirit. It's the indwelling of the Spirit.
Watch the disciples, the apostles never preached resurrection as when Jesus resurrected, when he came and was talking to them. No, they ministered resurrection as the ever abiding reality of the believer. You understand? As the ever abiding reality of the believer. So the resurrection is not past, it's not in the past tense. The resurrection is the everyday reality of the believer. So this is the reason why. Paul warns against anyone who preached that resurrection is past. He's like, Paul warns against anyone who preached that the resurrection is past. The resurrection is not in past tense. Because the resurrection is in past. No! Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. All because they want to, when people begin to look for new things, they want to be unique. There's no uniqueness in teaching the gospel. Hallelujah. You teach the same thing, Christ, over and over again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're teaching one Bible back again.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Look at this.
After talking to 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 18. He says, I'll start from verse 16. He says, shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. For their message will spread like canker. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. He said, and they overthrow the faith of some. The resurrection is in the past tense. It has already passed. No! Hallelujah. You see why Paul said we should stay against, we should stay away from these years. Because the resurrection is supposed to be the ever abiding, or is the ever abiding reality of the believer. Christ in our heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you say the resurrection is past, it's to you. But if I say the spirit is no longer in you, do you understand? Is the ever abiding reality of the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, also, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that's in 1 Corinthians 15, he will warn and said, if Christ, you know, there are some people who said there's no resurrection from the dead. Verse 14. And if Christ is not risen, then ours are preaching empty, and your faith is also empty. If Christ is not risen, your faith is empty. Hallelujah. But you believed in vain. Because this is the gospel. Hallelujah. Christ is alive. This is the message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the message. He's arisen. The gospel without the resurrection is not the gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Very important. The gospel without the resurrection fact is not the gospel. For it to be called the gospel, the resurrection fact is important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Verse 15. Yes, we have found false witness of God, because we testify that God, that he has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise. But if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Did you now see? The resurrection is the remission of sins. It is the total cancellation of sins. Hallelujah. It's the total cancellation of sins. So if you say Christ is not risen, that means you are still in your sins. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fact of the gospel. Christ. And is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is the ever-abiding reality of the believer. Ever-abiding reality of the believer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, the resurrection is the blotting away, total blotting away of sins. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So,